Dear Christian friends, have you ever noticed that often when problems pile up, a disaster takes place, or a death occurs in a family, often that person taking the role of comforter or counselor very often uses those first words of our text. We know that God works all things out for good for those who love God. These magnificent words always provide healing, comfort, and complete understanding of God's will. Not really. For we're aware that man is still bothered by problems in his life. How can we say with any conviction at all that all things are working out for good to those that love God? Certainly there are Christians who suffer hardship and sorrow. Certainly the world is filled with injustice. The news tells us of hostages, possibility of war, mass murder, rape, inflation, and things of this nature. People today more than ever suffer from hunger, danger, and sorrow. Can a starving person see the good in that situation? Even we here today face worry, problems, adversity, and generally things we feel serve us no benefit at all. All we have to do is recall some of the special intercessions that have been raised here at our chapel, and we realize that there are Christians who are sick, hurting, and sorrowful. The text asks the question, who will separate us from God's love? Will sorrow, hardship or persecution, hunger or nakedness, danger or sorrow? St. Paul here is writing to situations which were prevalent in the church at that time. But these problems have been with mankind ever since he fell into sin. And we realize they're with us today. World hunger, anxiety, and loneliness, and all these problems we confront in the world are still with us. So therefore, aren't people justified in asking the question, how can these things be for anyone's good? Aren't we really just attempting to ignore that which is really going on in life? Man is still bothered by more than his fair share of problems in life, and God's hand of mercy is often questioned when we look at that world. Man does have problems, but it is man and his sin which is at the heart of his problems. We try to blame God for everything that goes wrong in our lives and in our world. We have to face the fact. Man's sin in the world has caused man's problem. Who will separate us from God's love? Will sorrow, hardship or persecution, hunger or nakedness, danger or sword? No. Only man's sin can separate man from God. Man is in need of help. He needs help for everyday trials and tribulations. He needs help for his very salvation. We too become very guilty of trying to tell God what is for our good. Just as the Jews wanted to be Jesus to be their earthly deliverer and king, we too want a perfect earthly existence. We too become confused as to what is important and what is for our good. We want him to give us earthly glory. We want him to alleviate all the problems in our life and in the world. We want him to be the kind of God we want. We must look at the words of the text and see what God tells us. We know that God works all things out for good for those who love God. In the opening verse of the text and that which follows, it speaks here of a gracious and a loving God. It doesn't support a claim that people often posit that our God is unjust and unfeeling toward the problems of the world. We read here of a loving and a caring and a gracious God who has showered this grace upon us. We know that God works out all things for good for those who love God, who are called according to his plan. Those whom he chose from the first, he also appointed long ago to be thoroughly like his son, so he would be the firstborn among many brothers. Those whom he appointed long ago, he called. Those whom he called, he made righteous. And those whom he made righteous, he glorified. God shows love to people who are often unlovable because of their very nature. And this speaks to all men. It speaks to you and it speaks to me. We are deserving of nothing but his eternal damnation, save for the grace of God. Yet I think we all probably have had that feeling that maybe we do deserve some of that love and mercy God has shown us when you compare us maybe to the rest of the people in the world. Sometimes many Christians, and maybe we should consider this here at Concordia Seminary, feel that we have attained some sort of perfection on earth, and when anything takes place in our lives that we don't think we deserve, a common response is, well, why didn't it happen to that guy? He doesn't go to church or chapel, and you know what he did? We have to realize all have sinned and are without God's glory. They are justified freely by grace through the ransom Jesus Christ paid for them. Just to illustrate this point, I'm reminded of a story. There was once a woman who had several personal portrait photos taken of herself. And one particular day, she went to pick up those pictures, paid for them. And as she was leaving the store, she began leaping through and looking at the pictures of herself. Immediately, she turned around, bolted back into the store, slammed the pictures down on the counter and shouted, young man, these pictures don't do me justice. The young man working in the store walked up to the counter, looked at the pictures, then looked at the lady and said, lady, you don't need justice, you need mercy. The point is that too often, we feel God owes us something more than we really deserve. We deserve eternal punishment and damnation. Everything God gives us, he gives us through grace and through love. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he also chooses us. He chooses us personally to grace in Jesus Christ, who will separate us from God's love. The remaining verses in the text show us that nothing can separate us from the love, grace, and mercy that Jesus Christ has shown us. And Paul here looks at four questions to prove this point. If God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. He will certainly, with him, give us everything. Who will accuse those whom God has chosen? It is God who has made us righteous. Who will condemn? Christ died. More than that, he rose. He is at the right of God, and he prays for us. This certainly does speak comfort and healing. This passage does put things in a proper perspective in our lives. Christ suffered. He went to the cross, bore our pain, and died for us. As we remember this as the season of Lent. He rose, and with this gives us hope and assurance of our blessed resurrection. He sits at the right of God. He is our living and loving Savior. And he prays for us. Certainly, he won't let anything come between us and our God. He makes sure all things do work out for good to them that love God. The final question that's looked at is, who will separate us from God's love? Will sorrow, hardship or persecution, hunger or nakedness, danger or sword? So it is written, for you who are being killed all day long, we are considered sheep to be slaughtered. But in all this, he who loved us, help us win an overwhelming victory. I'm convinced that no death or life, no angels or their rulers, nothing now or in the future, no powers, nothing above or below, or any other creature can ever separate us from God, who loved us in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a comfort to us, sick, sinful, and troubled world. We know that the things of this life are but temporary. We are promised victory. We will not be separated from God's love. Certainly, God has our best interest in mind. He will never let us down in times of trouble. He is our help and the help of all people. Yes, problems and tragedy will remain. As we look at this text this morning, we realize that when we leave, all the problems in the world will not disappear. We have to realize this morning, though, that God is a God of grace and love. And we have no right to tell him what we feel his will should be. He sees to our good in every situation. Our future is with him who can alleviate pain and suffering. He can and he does help us work out our problems daily. But our God emphasizes his will and our salvation. We have so much to be thankful for in our lives. But all people have the same comfort in Jesus Christ. Other people are lonely, but they have a friend in Jesus Christ. Other people are hungry, but they have the bread of life in Jesus Christ. Other people are sorrowing, but they have the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Other people are in trouble or persecuted, but they have the strength to endure in Jesus Christ. This morning, I do not offer answers to the questions of why various things happen to certain people in life. But we do offer the words of the gospel, the words of comfort and healing. We know that God works all things out for good for those who love God. We can handle anything in Jesus Christ, for he saved us, and we live with him eternally in heaven. This is the greatest word of comfort any person can have. Amen.